Good morning. It's a great blessing, and It's a great blessing and a privilege to be with you. I know many of you, but for some of you who don't know me, I serve as our district missions mobilizer. So that's Manitoba and Saskatchewan and up to Arviat. And the whole goal and dream and desire and prayer is to mobilize our churches to reach the nations. And so this morning, the title of the message, it's really a message report testimony, is what in the world is God doing? It says in Revelation that they overcame him who is the accuser of the brethren by the blood of the Lamb. That's what Jesus has done for us. And then the testimony, which is when we declare what Jesus has done for us. And so really this morning's message is mostly testimony or story. If you have your Bibles, please turn to the book of Acts, chapter 15. Acts chapter 15. And I want to read just one verse that we will come back to after each story we listen to. And the verse is chapter 12. Acts chapter 15 and verse 12. It says, the whole assembly became silent or quiet. Can you hear it? Are we getting silent, quiet? The whole assembly became silent as they listened to Barnabas and Paul telling about the miraculous signs and wonders that God had done amongst the Gentiles through them. Let's pray. Father, your word is only alive as your Spirit comes and speaks it to us. And so in the name of Jesus Christ, we bind any kind of distraction and any kind of opposition that would keep us from hearing your word. And we pray, Jesus, in your name, that your heart for the nations would become more of our heart. And that you would use the words and the testimonies, really the stories that you've written in people's lives, to move us to action, to be involved. We pray this in your name. Amen. Amen. How many of you have noticed a changing landscape in the colors of Saskatoon? Any of you? Aha! What are you thinking about? I bet you're thinking about spring and buds coming and leaves coming and changing of colors and the coming of flowers. But that's not what I'm talking about in the changing colors of the landscape of Saskatoon. I'm talking about the cultural landscape and the colors of the nations within our city. 25 years ago, we were mostly white and First Nations people. That's the majority. There were exceptions, of course. And now, if you go to work, or you go to the marketplace, or you go to school, or you walk around in your neighborhood, you see this changing color of the landscape of the nations in Saskatoon. So, what is a nation? We sang it. It was actually in one of the songs. What is a nation? It's not a geopolitical entity or a country. Canada is a country. And within Canada, we have many, many nations. So, where does this idea of the nations come from? Well, it comes from the Bible. I'm so glad you asked. In Genesis, we find one nation only. And it says in Genesis chapter 11, it says the whole world had one language and a common speech. But in Genesis chapter 11, God confused or changed the languages and the nations were born. And so a nation is a group of people that has the same language, the culture, customs, and identity. That's what a nation is. And so in Genesis chapter 11, God says, I'm going to make a whole bunch of nations. And then in Genesis chapter 12, he says, now this is how I'm going to save all the nations. He chooses a guy by the name of Abram. Can any of you imagine, we saw a little baby yesterday in a picture. And can you imagine your little baby being named Abram, which means exalted father? How many of us would call our baby exalted father? But that was a prophetic declaration. And when the right time came, God, our heavenly father, he called Abram, changed his name to Abraham, which means the father of many or many nations. And so this is where this concept comes from. And God says, through you, I am going to see all the nations on the earth be blessed. Now, this is a review. I even said this last time I was here. I'm not off track. I'm not preaching the same message. I said to my wife once, I was going to a church I'd been in 5 years ago. I said, well, what if I preach the same message? I can't remember what I preached there. She said, no one listens to you anyhow. So I said, well, then what do I preach for? This is a review. So how many times was this promise repeated to Abram in one form or another, either partially or totally? In the Old Testament, it was repeated almost 300 times. And in the New Testament, almost 100 times. How many of us would agree that if God repeats something 400 times, that it's important? How many of us have repeated something 400 times to our children? Just this week, this happened this week. I talked to Ariane. I said, Ariane, can I use this? She said, yes. And I said something. She said, Dad, you've told me that again and again and again. I said, that's because it's important. It's important. So after this original promise, we have about 2,000 years till the time of Christ. And over again, God repeated this main truth. Isaiah 65 and 6 says, these nations will proclaim the praise of the Lord. These nations. Isaiah 11, 10 says, the nations will seek the Lord. And Malachi 1, 11 says, my name, God speaking, will be great among the nations. It says, from the rising of the sun to the place where it sets, my name will be praised. So Jesus comes, and Simeon, an old man, is there, and he's been waiting for the coming of the Messiah, and he says, this one will be a light of revelation to the Gentiles. Now, I use the word Gentiles because Gentiles can also be translated nations. And remember the verse that we started with? It says, Paul and Barnabas began to tell them about the miraculous signs and wonders God had done among the Gentiles or among the nations. So Jesus, he raised up his disciples. He trained them. Luke chapter 10, they say, is like a metaphor or shadowing. He called 70. And 70 was the symbol of the table of nations from Genesis chapter 11. So he was basically saying, you need to go to the whole world. And then he said that just before he left. Go and make disciples of? Oh my, let's do that one more time. Go and make disciples of? Oh, there we go. So, that's why both locally and globally, God is at work amongst the nation. That's the title. What in the world is God doing? A rallying cry of the Christian Missionary Alliance since it was born and started came from Matthew 24, 14. It says, this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in the whole world as a testimony to all nations, and then the end will come. So how is it being proclaimed? I take you to the country of Spain. There's only one or two of my stories that I can actually say where they're happening. And you know, that's a source of frustration to some of us, especially as older people. We say, we used to know where they all were and all their names and what they're... Because of the dangers that I will share with you, you know why I can't give names and places. But I take you to Spain, a country that's so secularized that trying to share the good news of Jesus will be met with open disdain and often with insult or persecution. And there, Kurt and Kim Peters and their family live. They are international workers or missionaries that are sent out by the Christian Missionary Alliance to share the love of Jesus there. Now, Kim is an artist. When I finish and conclude the message, you're going to see a pattern of things, and I'll call you to engagement related to this. But Kim is an artist, and she is an absolutely amazing painter. And the excellence of her artwork has opened many doors for her, actually not just in Spain, but across Europe. And the hope and love of Jesus is shared through her artwork with many people who normally would never, ever, ever go to church. And one of Kim's friends, her name is Annabelle, and she's an artist. But Kim said, she's not just an ordinary artist. She's a tattoo artist. And she said, she has tattoos pretty much from here to here. She said, and she's also a Buddhist. And she's also Kim's friend. And Kim said, no normal missionary would ever get close to her. But I've been able to get close to her. And so, Annabelle, Kim will share some passage of scripture or a psalm or a picture from the Word. And Annabelle says, I'm going to take that as my mantra for the day. A mantra is something that Buddhists speak over and over again. It's like a prayer throughout the day. And here's this Buddhist taking a piece of scripture and making it her mantra for the day. Isn't that great? And one day, Annabelle said, I think I have a crush on Jesus. I think I love Jesus. She's on her way. She's on this journey. And when Annabelle's mom died, it was Kim that Annabelle called and said, how do I walk through this? This is how God is reaching the nations. Kurt and Kim Peters, IWs in Spain. And they live amongst the artists who are some of the most needy people in the world. They said that when we prepare to go to events, we often sometimes even fast and pray because the spiritual darkness is so palpable, is so real that we can hardly exist in these contexts, but we have to go there because we're the only light they have. God is showing His signs and His wonders through Kurt and Kim to reach needy people in Spain. Okay? So what can we do? I ask this question all the way through. We can pray for Kurt and Kim. If there's anybody here who's artistically inclined, you will remember these people, and you remember Kurt and Kim, and pray that darkness will become light and that miraculous signs and wonders will be released so these people will come to Jesus. You can give to the Global Advance Fund. That's all, if you look at it on your envelope, that's the fund through which we send out all of our missionaries. And I want to challenge you. I've been giving this challenge the last few places. We have many, many wonderful, faithful people who for decades have given to that. And I bless each one of you. And God receives your gift and your sacrifice. And that's how our people are there. But we have a high percentage who don't give at all. And if everyone who didn't give would simply give $20 a month, that's one trip to Tim's or wherever you go and spend a little money, we could move our budget from $15 million a year to $45 million a year. So if you're one of those people, I simply invite you, I challenge you, I call you, you can do that, very simple. And then, if you're going to take a trip to Spain, anybody got a trip to Spain plan? I don't, but maybe you'll go there just because it's a dark place and you can bring the light and you can walk and see the wonderful places and you can pray. Or maybe you're going to meet a Spaniard in your workplace or somewhere else. Take the light. Acts 15:12 says, the whole assembly became quiet as they reported and told about the miraculous signs and wonders God had been doing amongst the nations. Story number two. I take you to a country that I can't name. It's in Southeast Asia. To a people group that I can't name. But as we walked up into this part of this great city, millions of people. And there were high rises as far as you could see all over the place. And we rang the bell, and two wonderful people came to meet us, IWs. I'm going to give, obviously, these aren't their real names, but I'm going to give you two names that are going to help you to remember them and pray for them. The wife's name is Bao, and the husband's name is Neil. Bao and Neil. As little children, they lived in a war-torn country that they had to escape as refugees. They came to Cambodia and they landed in a refugee camp where there were international workers from the Christian Missionary Alliance. And they came to know Jesus. They were moved to the United States. They fell in love. They got married. And they said, we want to go back. And so that's where we found them when we heard that part of their story. They immigrated, as I said. And so they knew all about the hardships of immigration and repatriation and all those kinds of things. And they welcomed us on their 15th floor apartment. And we had 3 hours with them. And for 3 hours, they told about the miraculous signs and wonders that God was doing in their place of ministry. I can only tell you two, maybe three. But they received a phone call one day from distraught and desperate parents from another country who somehow had found out that they were in this city. And they said, our daughter has been kidnapped to be forced to become a bride of somebody in your city. Can you rescue her? What would we say? Well, maybe you should call the police. Those options don't exist there. And so, bow and kneel as people of incredible faith and simple trust in Jesus. They said, we'll do our best. And so they found out that this young lady was in a certain sector of the city. Imagine a city of millions of people. And saying, well, she's somewhere in that sector of the city. Well, that's finding a needle in a haystack is a simple job compared to that. They went. They listened to the Spirit. Literally, they listened to the Spirit of God. And they found that girl. And they put her on their motorbike. And they raced away. Now that's a miraculous sign and wonder that God did because of his incredible love for that young lady and her parents and her people group. But were their lives not at risk? Wasn't that a risky thing to do? They said, well, of course. But we've already counted the cost. We know what the Word says. The Word says, for me to live is Christ, to die is gain. So we thought about it and we thought, the worst thing that could happen is that this would be a gain. They work amongst rural people in villages. Even though they live in the city, they do circuits. So they went out to this one village one day. And they said, in this village, there was this one family that really didn't like us. They said, the other people were quite friendly. And we do business with them. We help them. We actually have created a business so that they can sustain themselves economically. This is what a lot of our IWs are doing, creative options. And so they said, this one family really hated us. They didn't like us. They treated us badly. And one day we got there and they said, can you pray for our relative? And I thought, whoa, this is different. Well, of course, yes. What does the Scripture say? Love your enemies. Bless them that curse you. Do good to them that hate you. Pray for them that despitefully use you and persecute you. They were just putting the gospel into action. And so they went to this little hut and they opened the door and there was a man who was chopping vegetables and preparing some food. That's an important detail. It's not just a side. And they went in and he said, would you like to stay and eat with me? And they cautiously said, yes. And as they looked at him, they saw that he had sores all over his body. And he was just skinny, skinny, skinny. And as they talked, he said, I have AIDS. And then Bao, the wife, thought, he's just been preparing our meal. If he cut himself or anything like that happen, we will die. But she said, if we die, we go to be with Jesus. And if he dies, he goes to hell. We have to stay and eat. And they stayed, and they ate, and they visited, and they anointed, and they prayed for, and they went away, and they only go back to the villages about once a month, once every 6 weeks. 6 weeks later, they went back, and they were doing their work and everything, and they said, this young man, healthy, strong, Bao said he was fat, which in their culture means he's healthy. And he said, do you recognize me? And they said, no. He said, I'm the young man that you prayed for. And Jesus has healed me, and I want to follow Jesus. Amen? God loves the nations. But He takes us and He takes our people that we send out to reach the nations. And I didn't put it in my notes, and if I have to cut off the last half, I will. But I want to tell you this final story. Neil, the husband, and another national leader were translating the Bible. Their Bible was like 250 years old. They could hardly read it. And so they were trying to get it into a modern translation for this people group that they were reaching. And wherever the Bible is being translated, especially when it's coming to the conclusion, there is fierce spiritual opposition. And so miraculous signs and wonders often happen. I've talked to Wycliffe Bible translators and others and heard similar stories. So they were coming down near the end, and one morning they turned their computer on, and there's nothing there. It's completely blank. And that's where everything is stored. And Neil is like beside himself. He's just, he doesn't know what to do. And all of a sudden, Bao says, oh, husband. That's what they, in their culture, they don't say their names. They actually say husband, wife. She says, husband, I have a copy. He said, what? What do you mean you have a copy? The only one that exists is in the computer and it's blank. She said, about 2 weeks ago, the Holy Spirit said to me, make a hard copy. And so I did. And the Holy Spirit said, take it to Hong Kong and put it in a safe. And so I did. Oh, he started to dance around and they were so happy. And they went back and turned the computer on and everything came back. She was in the kitchen cooking. And she said, I cook, husband translate. She's a fabulous cook. And she said, I'm cooking. And I think I should go do something for husband. She said, no, I'm cooking. And then it gets a little stronger. She gets this inner voice. You go do this thing for your husband. She said, I'm cooking. And the third time she thought, this maybe is the Lord. She walked. And this is near the end of the completion of the translation. She walked out of the kitchen. And the stove exploded. And the glass from the door of the stove shot into the concrete 1.5 inches. She would have been dead. And they told about the miraculous signs and wonders that God had done amongst the nations. That's what God is doing. So what can you and I do? I gave them these names actually so that every day, at least once a day, we bow down to do something, don't we? Don't we? Will you intentionally ask the Spirit, just remind me one time to bow down and say, Lord, I pray for Bao. And if we could humble ourselves one time a day and get down and kneel down and pray for Neil. They live in an extremely dangerous country where the country is getting more and more difficult every day, and they're staying. Okay. And what else can you do? Remember the global advance? That's what gets them there and keeps them there. So if you're engaged, Lord bless you. If you're not, think about $20 a month. You put it on your envelope, put GAF. We have 25 new people ready to go out. We sent out 25 new ones last year. We're not going to be able to sustain it at where we're at, doing all kinds of different things. But one of the ways is we can become involved. And maybe, again, you're going to be traveling to another country. And I just say, go on and find the, what's it called, the Joshua app for the unreached people group. Find out if there's an unreached people group. Did you know that Qashqai, that's a car, right? Have you seen them? Have you seen the ads? They are an unreached people group. That's the name of an unreached people group. Maybe you can just say, Lord, show me a Qashqai once in a while. And there's actually others. There's another car that's named after another unreached people group that's in West Africa, Northwest Africa. So just say, Lord, make me aware of a group of people that doesn't have Jesus and access to Him. Okay. You may have heard part of this story. But having actually been there now, this story lives in me like never before. I found myself in a country where the national people, those who are native to that country, is virtually untouched by the gospel. As far as we know, and maybe there exists and we don't know, but for 1,400 years, there's not been a Christian church there amongst the national people. There are churches for international people, but not for nationals. And now, and Kevin and Sandy, you'll remember they visited here in the fall, they said there now exists a church of about 15 to 20 people. We were able to attend that church. They said to us at the beginning of the week, they said, we don't know if you'll be invited or not. You'll meet these people throughout the week. They will decide if they can trust you. They decided they could trust us. They invited us. Then they asked me to speak. And so we worshiped together and we prayed together and we ate together. And many of them have paid an incredibly high price to follow Jesus. And one young lady, she told me her story. And she was vivacious, outgoing, just a beautiful person. And she said, I was in my country, which is not, it was another one. She's working in this place. And war broke out and my dad was being hunted and so we had to leave as refugees. And so we fled to another country. And in that country, she said, we met some people and we didn't know who they were and we didn't know who Jesus was. And someone said to me, would you like to receive Jesus? And she thought, these are nice people. I don't want to offend them. Yeah, sure, why not? She said, I didn't have a clue what that meant. But then I began to get to know those people. And I came to know who Jesus was. And I came to understand that you had to make a decision if you're going to make Jesus the Lord or not. And so she said, one night I just prayed and I said, Jesus, if you're real and I'm to follow you, then you come and reveal yourself to me. But if you're not and you don't come and reveal yourself to me, then I will continue to follow Allah. I'll continue to be a good Muslim. She said that night she had a dream. And the vast majority of the Muslims that I talked to, what they're called Muslim background believers, they had actually had some kind of an appearance or encounter with Jesus. She said, mine wasn't. I had a dream. And in the dream, there was a man who was standing there. He had a loaf of bread in one hand and a cup of wine in the other. And he said to me, do you want to go and be with God? She said, in my culture, that means die. So she said, I was terrified and I tried to run away in my dream. And all the doors closed and all the windows closed and I couldn't run away. And then I thought, well, if he's really God and I go to be with him, that's fine. So I went back and I came to know Jesus. She said her mom cried and wept and wailed and told her what a bad person she was. She said, I just kept going. And she said, after a while, my brother started to ask me questions. She said, and my brother's come to know Jesus. And she said, just 2 weeks ago, I went to take a trip and I couldn't find my Bible. And I said to my mom, Mom, have you seen my Bible? She said, this is what my mom did. She put her head down like this and she said, I've got your Bible. I'm reading your Bible. She said, I believe my mom's this close. She stood there with her arms around Sandy, who's like a spiritual mom to her. These were our IWs. We pray for them. We raise them up. We send them so that the nations can know. So that the nations can know. How can you and I be involved? Pray, pray, pray. I'm so glad that you have these things, right? On the way out of the sanctuary are these little booklets, Praying Through Ramadan. 30-day plan to pray. Ramadan is when the Muslims worship and they fast every day, all day long. This is very practical. It'll lead you through. There's one for kids. There's one for adults. I plan on doing this. I've tried and failed 3 years in a row. But this year I say I'm going to succeed. So even if you try and you fail and it's your first year towards success, it's okay. Since this started happening in the mid-90s, there were virtually no movements of God towards, no movements of Muslims towards Christ. And from 95 to the present day, there's over 100 of them. A movement is at least 1,000 believers or 100 small groups that are identified who have come to Christ. This is absolutely earth-shattering and history-changing. So just pray, pray, pray very simply that they will have visions and dreams because they believe in them and God meets them and they come to Him. You say, oh, yeah, but what difference does it make? They ran an ad in social media in one country saying, let's find out. Maybe there's a dozen. Maybe there's 100 who have had some kind of encounter with Jesus. They ran the ad, and they were so flooded with responses that they couldn't keep up and they couldn't count them. Thousands upon thousands upon thousands have had encounters with Christ through visions or dreams. We can pray for that, can't we? We can pray for that. We can pray for that. I wrap with this and finish with this. So Kevin and Sandy, they were ordinary Canadians doing their job. What was their job? He was in media. And God calls him and prompts him and says, you need to go. This is decades ago. He says, what can I do? I'm a media person. God says, I will use you. He took him there. And they found a team and they joined this team and I met this team. And they produced a video, a 15-minute testimony with the eyes covered and the voice changed. And they put it out on the media, on the internet, and thinking, I wonder if somebody will listen to it. 3.5 million. So they did it again. 5 million. Now there's a team preparing. They want to prepare 365 one-minute testimony clips so that every day they can upload a new one. They've already done 50 of them. And who is doing it? Not Kevin and Sandy. National believers from the Middle East who have come to Christ. They're the team now. So I conclude. I keep saying I conclude. Got to conclude. You have to pray for Joseph. Please pray for Joseph. I'll tell his story. I won't do anything else. I'll just pray. Joseph's mom, I met Joseph's mom. Joseph was 2 and had 2 siblings when his mom came to Christ. Her husband, Joseph's father, threatened to kill his mother, and she escaped. She took on a new identity. She moved to a new country, and I met her there. And over these last 14 years, she's been praying for her family. Joseph, at age 9, came to Christ. I don't know how. His father beat him so bad they thought he would die. He recovered. That's another sign and wonder. At 15, he went and privately got baptized. His dad found out about it and almost beat him to death again. But he didn't die. That's another sign and wonder. When we met his mom, she said, I don't know what I'm going to do now because now they've thrown him in jail, accused him of treason against his country, which is all false, and planned to lock him up for 15 to 20 years. Will you pray for Joseph? If you look in the book of Acts, twice God miraculously released people from prison and once He didn't. They went home to be with Him. I don't know what the response will be, but if you would pray that just like the Apostle Paul and Silas, they sang in the prison, that Joseph would be able to sing in the prison. And just as they didn't escape and run away, they stayed and shared the gospel with their captors, that Joseph would be able to do that. And then you would pray. Anyone here a mom? Raise your hand if you're a mom. Okay? All of you who are moms, will you pray for Joseph's mom? Just that God would sustain her. She's just really in a bad way. So, we have Jeremiah Shrigley, who's artistic, right? Maybe he will go to Spain and influence the artists, or maybe somewhere else, or maybe here. Do we have anybody here who's involved in media, who you say you're just doing your job. You're just doing your stuff. Maybe God is going to call you out. We have people here who are either refugees or immigrants, and you've come here, and maybe you say, man, I'm settled. I'm staying. Bao and Neil didn't settle. They didn't stay. They went. And all of us are surrounded by people from the nations. Will we simply become sensitive to those people and start to love them in Jesus' name? Father, you got so many good people here that you have used, and I bless each one of them. There's some who you want to use more, and thank you that you're challenging them. I just pray, Lord Jesus, that we would realize that you are at work. You are doing signs and wonders and miracles around the globe, and that you'll do them here through us as we reach out to the nations, and you'll do them here through us as we send people to the nations. Thank you for this church. Thank you for people who've been faithful. Thank you for people who sent us. I pray that we'd send a lot more in Jesus' name. Amen.